The book of Deuteronomy 5, verse 29, and this is God speaking. Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Let us pray. Father in heaven, surely as we read this, every parent, every grandparent, every relative, even those of us in the church here for young ones and children, Lord, we want it to be well with them. And Lord, you've told us here how it can be well with them. So as you look at thy word this morning, make us attentive to the commandments of our God. Teach us, we pray, in our Saviour's name. Amen. We're thinking of this third basic foundation for parenting. And that is, we are to catechize the children, for they need our direction. They need direction. To admonish, and that word also means to teach by not just our example, but by word of mouth. Now, Christ is the example for parents. He's the example for all of us. And remember, of course, don't say, well, I've no children, I'm not a parent, this message has nothing to do with me. We saw last week that Paul called himself a spiritual nursing mother and a father among people. He had no physical children, but he sought to reach people and looked upon them. He wanted to be a mother and father to them. Now, Christ is our example. Our catechism teaches us wonderful scriptural truth that ours, our Redeemer, Christ, it says, executed the office in three ways: a prophet, a priest, and a king. You see, we are ignorant of spiritual truth ever since Adam fell. We need a prophet to tell us the truth, and Christ is the truth. He's the great prophet. He's the great prophet. We are sinful, and we're born sinful, and therefore we need a priest, and Christ is the perfect priest who offered himself to be our Savior, offered himself as a sacrifice for our sins. He ever lives to plead for us there in heaven. He is our priest. We are weak. We need a king to rule over us, to subdue us to himself, and to defeat all his and our enemies. So we need a king. And parent, especially the father, you are to be a prophet, priest, and a king to your children. What do we mean by that? Well, we mean that they are sinners, just like us, and your children need a priest. Now, we don't mean an earthly priest, but you're, in a sense, a priest to them. Not in, I mean, in the Roman Catholic sense of offering sacrifices. No, no. But you're to be a priest to them, to show them the Saviour, to teach them about Christ, and you're there to preach for them, as a priest to intercede for them. Remember Job? He prayed for his children. Father, lest they have sinned. And he offered sacrifices. The Old Testament illustration that we come to pray on the basis of Christ's atoning work at Calvary. We pray, Father, Christ has shed his blood, he has atoned for sin, and on that basis we pray that you would bless our children. As a priest to your children, you have to pray for them. And priests led the worship in the Old Testament. Your home, your family, is to be a little church, if you like. It's to be a place where you gather the children and you pray with them and you read God's word and you explain it and sing with them. The songs are a great way of teaching spiritual truth. So there ought to be that family altar, it's sometimes called. You ought to be a priest in the sense of bringing them with you to the throne before God. And then, of course, your children are weak. Of course they are. They need you to be a king to them, providing for their needs, just as a king provides for his subjects' needs and Christ provides for our needs. You need to be a king in protecting them. We spoke about that last week. The awful protection from things like internet, electronic media and things spewed out. We need to put a cage around our children and protect them. You need to be a king in punishing. Punishing in love, of course. A king has rules in his realm. Subjects are to obey them. And a parent is to be a king in pardoning. You might be read of times when a king pardoned his subjects. You're to have that pardoning love to your children. Ah, but your children are ignorant. Now, I don't mean ignorant in the sense of being rude. I mean they don't know. They need to be taught. And don't take the foolish view. Somebody years ago said, oh, well, I don't try and indoctrinate my children in spiritual things. Well, the world will indoctrinate them, all right. Don't worry about that. They'll soon indoctrinate them. And as a prophet to your children, you are to admonish them, you're to teach them, you are to direct them. That's the point that we are making. You're to admonish your children about many things. And God has given a whole book, the book of Proverbs. And it's the writing, inspired of course, of a father advising his son. Son, there are certain people you avoid. And there are certain people you should associate with. And he actually teaches his son what to hate. You know, parents, you're to teach your children to hate. Now, not to hate people, but to hate sins. There are seven of them listed. You can read it in the book of Proverbs. A lying tongue, a proud look. And verse 5 other things that you're to hate. Because if you love the Lord, you're to hate evil. You're to teach them the need for industry, not laziness. Give them little jobs to do when they're young. You could do it quicker. Of course you could do it better, but you're training them. You're instructing them, you're teaching them to do those jobs so that they realize they have to work. You're to teach them in honesty, that they're never to lie, that God hates lying. Well, but here when we get to the book of Deuteronomy, with God's textbook, you could say, for what we are to teach and how we are to teach our children. And that verse in chapter 5, verse 29, isn't it wonderful? God desires and he longs for your children that it might be well with you and with your children. Isn't that wonderful? God, your Lord, desires that it would be well with your children. And we can pray that, can't we? When you turn into chapter 6, that is further brought out in verse 3. Here, therefore, Israel observed to do it, and so on, that it might be well with thee. Well with thee. And in verse 7, thou shalt teach them diligently unto their children. In other words, for your children to be well. And we all want them to do well, don't we? And we want it to go well with our children. Well, God says, teach them. Admonish them. And it's the duty of parents especially to do this. This is addressed to parents primarily. What are you to teach them? Well, verse 4 and 5. Look what it says. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. That's the great revelation. There's one Lord. Now, it's interesting it doesn't say one God. Now, of course, we know there's only one God. But society has many gods. And society likes to describe the God that they claim they believe in. And the God that they set forth is not the God of the Bible. The word Lord is Jehovah, the covenant, personal, eternal Lord of Israel. When you go back to chapter 5, the preface to the Ten Commandments, I am the Lord that redeemed you, the Lord that brought you out of Egypt. I am Jehovah. I am the great I am. And the first duty of parents is to teach our children the I Am, who the Lord is. This is our Lord. This is our Lord. And you probably know that as soon as Jewish children, even to this day, begin to speak words, they're taught. It's called the Great Shema. And Jewish people, those who are devout, will say these words twice a day. When they meet together in their synagogues or for Jewish worship, they repeat these verses together, 4 and 5. They repeat the whole section. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, Jehovah. He's the mighty one. He's the supreme one. That's what it literally means. And they repeat it. And we ought to teach our children to know that. To know who God is. That's what they need in direction of life. The commandments, of course, set out who God is. And parents, You have the duty to teach your little children who God is. When our first child was born, friends gave us as a gift, and we've gone through many of them and given them to members of the family and friends. And I can recommend, I can't recommend all the books, we'll be here all day, but I can recommend highly that this is an excellent book for parents, Leading Little Ones to God, published by a group called Banner of Truth. It's a wonderful little book, because let me just give you, there's a word to parents at the beginning, and then look at some of the headings. It's for little children to explain it simply, that you can read it to them. Listen to it here. Part 1, Looking for God. Our hearts ask for God. There's about 3 pages in each of these. We can't see God. We see God's works. God talked to people long ago. God talks to us. God sent His Son. Then memory verses. Next part, God is great. God is one God. That's just where we're at. God is everywhere. God knows all things. God is 3 persons. God is holy, almighty, faithful, has many names. That's just the first couple of chapters, and it goes all, and I can't start reading them all, it's right down, you can see the headings. God made all things, God made us good, God made things for His praise, God's law, how God loves us, God gave us Son, God wants us to be happy, and then what Jesus did came from earth, and so on. How can we become children of God? We must confess our sins, know the way. Well, it would take the rest of the service even to maybe go through all the headings. That's one little book I could recommend. Get it. It wouldn't do us adults any harm to read through it again. Give it to maybe you know someone, new children born. It's a wonderful book. I can highlight. Now, there's other books. Other men may recommend other books to you, but I think that's an excellent book. Leading Little Ones to God. You see, you might say, well, I'm a parent, but I don't know how to teach the child. How can I instruct it? Well, we're giving you, this is a wonderful tool. Of course, it doesn't take the place of sitting down with them. And of course, it's meant for children who are too young to read it themselves and to go through it. But we're to teach them who God is. Who God is. Ah, but secondly, not only the great revelation, one Lord, but look at verse 5. Here's where we're to teach them the great response. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. See that word, to love Him. That's the great response. Thou shalt love the Lord. You're to love Him supremely. For He's God, that means He's number one. Son, daughter, when they're just beginning to learn, we're to direct them and say, admonish them. Son, daughter, the most important thing in life and the most important person in life is not your mommy and daddy. It's not me. It's God. It's your Lord is the most important. You're to love Him supremely. And you're to love Him sincerely with all your heart. Remember Christ denounced those who came to the Lord with their tongues, their mouth, but their heart was far from Him. You're to love Him sincerely. And of course, the children will see in you and me whether we sincerely love the Lord or not. There's one thing about children, they can spot phoniness a mile off. They'll know, do we really love the Lord? Love Him selflessly. Love Him with all your soul. That means with every part of us. You're to love Him strongly with all your might. With every sinew and bone, as it were. Everything. We're to put Him first. I'm not a school teacher, but those of your school teachers, I've heard it said that a school teacher who loves their subject will be able to teach it better. Well, how can you teach about the Lord if you don't love the Lord? If you're teaching your children that you're to love the Lord, you have to have an evident, passionate, supreme, sincere, strong love. Strong love. But then look at not only the great revelation, one Lord, the great response of ours, one love to Him, but look at the great responsibility you're to teach them. The great responsibility. Verse 6, these words which I command thee, that's the Ten Commandments, shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them. See that? Unto thy children. There you go. There's what you're to do, parent. So when you read in the New Testament, parents admonish your children in the Lord, here's what you do. You teach them the Ten Commandments. I'm absolutely flabbergasted sometimes when you hear some Christians say, "Oh, well, those commandments, that's Old Testament." Listen, the Ten Commandments set forth who God is, sets forth the character of God. They're God's moral standards for all time. And we're to teach them. Teach the Ten. And remember, the Ten Commandments are families of sins. In other words, thou shalt not kill. Murder, of course, it means in the original. Well, that can be extended away out, and the rest of the Bible shows. Christ said, if you have hatred in your heart, that's included. In other words, the Ten Commandments are amplified and explained in the rest of the Bible. Teach them. Teach them. When? Well, Isaiah 28, 9 and 10 say, teach knowledge, make to understand doctrine, from when they that are weaned from the milk. In other words, a very young baby you begin. Now I know they'll not understand the whole thing when you start, but in other words, it's saying right from the earliest. Do you remember the first 2 Timothy 3:15? Paul wrote, Timothy, thou hast known the scriptures. From a child thou hast known the scriptures that are able to make thee wise unto salvation. There are various terms for children in the Greek language that are used in the New Testament. There are two other words, but you know the word that he uses? Breathos. See, when I say that, does not give you the impression? Breath. Breathos. Do you know what it was used? In the Gospel of Luke, it's used of infant. Infant. Do you remember in 1 Peter chapter 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk? You know what Paul's writing? Timothy, from you were a little baby. Of course I know a little baby lying there. You can't start repeating the whole, and they'll take it in. Of course they'll not. But I think what Paul means is, Timothy, there was never a time in your life that you can remember when you weren't being taught about the Lord from your mother and your granny. And he mentions his mother and his granny. Timothy, from ever you can remember, from your youngest memory, you were being taught by your mum and granny. So when do you start? When they're young. When they're young. Bible's so clear. So, you are to be the teacher. The father especially, but the mother and the folks, the father isn't to leave it to the mother and say, well, that's her job. That's her job. Now, we know, of course, in the providence, there are often one-parent families, maybe just a father, maybe just a mother. And we pray the Lord will bless in those situations. Although even where there's not a literal father for different reasons, it is good to have a father figure who can be with the son and train him and teach him. But we're to teach. And the parents are the teachers. What's the curriculum? The Ten Commandments. Every school has a curriculum. These words, verse 6. These words. And they're absolutely God's commandments. But just before I pass on, they're words of grace. See, too many people think the Ten Commandments, it's law. Now, it is law, and God will judge. And because they're laws, they do restrain society and from worse crimes. And many governments, you know, and countries have Ten Commandments as the basis of many of their laws. Sadly, that's becoming less and less in our United Kingdom. And in a sense, it restrains sin. That's one purpose of the law. But when you know Christ, the Ten Commandments are words of grace. They're words of love. Do you remember I read in chapter 5, verse 6, I am the Lord that redeemed you. That's why I'm giving you the Ten Commandments. They're to be a blessing. They're to be a blessing. You see, oftentimes Christians make the very, very foolish mistake of thinking that God's will, it's always something mystical. Something that's difficult to grasp. As if we're going to hear a voice from heaven or some sign or some supernatural. Oh, I wish God would just show me his will for my life. Now, I know God has a specific will and God calls people to specific places. And oftentimes he does that in different ways, impressing a verse. Circumstances come into play. I know that. I know that happens. But listen, the Ten Commandments are God's will. They're His sovereign will. And before we go to get some subjective feeling that we think God may have us do, that comes secondary. That's always subject to, this is the will of God for you. This is the will of God for you. Ten Commandments set out God's will. They are the roadmap. And we teach our children, look, the Lord loves us so much. Our Lord, He redeemed us out of Egypt, and He loves us so much. He's given us these 10 wonderful signs, like road signs. Just when you're going along the road, aren't you glad it warns you that up ahead there's a busy road, and if you'd just gone on, you could be killed. Isn't it wonderful there's a road sign? Stop ahead. And these 10 commandments, God is saying, don't do this because it'll harm you. Do this because this will be a blessing. They're words of grace. The words of grace to those who know the Lord. And so instruct your children, son, daughter, the Lord has redeemed us and these are a blessing. And therefore, to teach them, you need to know them yourself. How can we ever teach the commandments if we don't know them? I know we can repeat them, memorize them, but we know what they actually mean. Do we know what it means not to take the Lord's name in vain? It doesn't just mean using His name as a curse word. But it means to come with insincerity when we worship Him. And so on. There's many, many aspects. We need to know them. The spiritual meaning. We need to pray them. My Martin Luther did that. He used to, when he found it hard to pray, he would start to pray the Ten Commandments. Not just, I am the Lord. But he'd pray, I am the Lord thy God. Oh, Father, help me to put nothing in front of you. Help me, Lord, to put you first in everything in my life. And when I'm tempted to look to something else for happiness or to trust, Lord, save me from putting anyone in front of you. You pray through them. Pray through them on your own. Pray through them with your children. You see, know them and pray them. School teachers, never been one, but they tell me they have to prepare their lessons. That's why when you keep these teachers going about the long summer break, a wonderful job, they'll go, "Baha, you don't know how we have to prepare." And when we go home from school, isn't that right, teachers? But anyway, you tell me, oh, to prepare the lessons at home. Well, you have to prepare to study the Ten Commandments for yourself. But pray with them. Pray with your children the Ten Commandments. There's a thing to pray with your children. Lord, help me and help name your children. Help us all to love you first. Help us never to take your name in vain. Help us go through them. And then, what does chapter 6 verse 1 says? Do them. Do them. Commanded to teach you that ye might do them. Obey the Ten Commandments. The children will never believe them or accept them if you don't do them. Now, how do we admonish our children? Well, let's get to that. We're told here in verse 6. They shall be in thine heart, and then verse 7, thou shalt have to be in your heart. Here, you shall teach them, now watch, look at this, in thine heart, so it has to be convincingly, you'll never be able to convincingly teach if you don't believe it. Creatively, look at verse 7, when you sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, I think that's speaking about creatively. It's not just a sitting down by rote, now repeat after me. It's good to teach them, to memorize them. But it's more than memorizing them. It's talking about them. Not in a boring, difficult, harsh manner. You'd better learn the commandment. And it's making it interesting. Making it enjoyable. Isn't that the sign of a good teacher? The children enjoy the lessons. You're making it interesting when you talk, by the way. Use Bible stories. Use little Bible books, Christian magazines on creation and so on, Bible games, reward them when they've memorized something. You're to make it enjoyable when you're sitting down. You see that? And you're to teach them consistently or diligently, it says there. Teach them diligently, here a little, there a little. You're to keep on doing it continually. Conversationally, in verse 7, you shall talk of them. You talk about them. And that's why catechisms are a great thing. Children's catechism, the shorter catechism. You say, well, what do you think this means, son? What do you think? How can we keep this? How can we do this? And there's a lot of guides and children's devotions that will give you questions to ask. This is when they're old enough to talk. And get them to talk about it. Doesn't say talk at them. Doesn't say talk at them. Talk of them. Speak about them. Speak about them. Conversationally. Down in verse 20 it talks about when thy son asketh thee. What do these mean? So inquisitive, and you talk about them. You take time to speak about them. And when you're walking about, in other words, during the day, you don't just say, well, this morning we're having 10 minutes or whatever of teaching the commands and never mention them. No, when things happen during the day, when you're out for a walk, when they're young, look at the lovely trees. Our God made those. He loves us. That's why we ought to love him and obey him. Look at his love. And you're teaching the commandments conspicuously. Look at verse 8. This is an interesting verse. Verse 8. You're to take the Ten Commandments and bind them for a sign upon thine hand. Front us between thine eyes. Write them upon the posts of thy house conspicuously. I'm sure all of us have been in school classes, haven't we? Maybe some of you not for a long time, but if you go into a school, you know what you often see around the classroom wall? Charts. Might be kings and queens of England or, well, Britain. And you might see a chart about this or a chart about that or a poster about this. And so when the children are sitting in the class, they see the different posters around. All right. Sad thing, as you probably know, over in the United States for years, they're not allowed to post the Ten Commandments. All right? They said it's illegal. Atheists complained. Well, don't you let your house be like that. Your house is a classroom. Post up the Ten Commandments. Now, it says between your eyes. The Jews had a thing called phylacteries. What it was, devout Jews to this day, some of you who visit Israel would have seen this, or maybe devout Jews, if you ever travel much, you see them at airports sometimes. They know the black hat, the black. And sometimes they put on, it's like a leather, and they tie it round their head if they're going to pray. And they go, or they wrap it round their hand with a wee leather pouch. You know what they've done? They've written the Ten Commandments inside those. Or else, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. It's actually written in Hebrew. And they literally take verse 8 and literally tie it to their hand. I think what it means, have the commandments in your mind. Your thoughts. Have them in your hand, all that you do. Ten Commandments. Put them upon the doorposts of your house. And by the way, I think it is good to have the Ten Commandments up. We have a large framed in the hallway, purchased it many years ago, and we have it. Just the other day, there were two salesmen came to the door trying to sell me meals that all the ingredients are there and they'll bring them to your door and leave it and I can cook them. I said, no thank you, my wife's out. I can put on the teapot and that's about it. I can boil an egg. Well, I think so. But they were standing at the doorway and immediately in our door, you know, we have a plaque there. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I saw the two men and one of them said, oh, we had that sign in our house. So they knew, well, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's good. G. Campbell Morgan, one occasion, had many sons. He was visiting his son, recently married, and he walked around. Oh, it's a lovely house you've got, but son, there's nothing on the walls to point out it's a Christian home. Get up some texts. Get up some texts on your walls. Let people know. Make it clear that in this house we serve the Lord. So you teach the commandments. Oh, there's so much we could say, but let me just come to, as it were, bring it to close here in that here's the scenario. This is how you teach them. We brought in about correction. There's also the correction and the care. So let's say here's the child, a little child, and they've deliberately defied. Now, not just a little mistake or something clumsy. No, deliberately defied. You say, son, daughter, you've disobeyed or you've told a lie. You don't just say, look, that's wrong. You say, son, if they're old enough to sit down quietly with them, son, our God hates lying. He's told us we're not to lie. And I've told you, you're not to lie. But the Lord hates lying. You see, you bring it back to the Lord. You bring it back to His commandments. To His commandments. You see, the law is like the needle that cuts the conviction that enables the scarlet thread of the gospel to come in. The law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. See, it's not simply a teaching of the commandments in and of themselves. It is to get the child and us to realize that we can't keep the law perfectly, that we fail, that we sin. And then that's your opportunity to say, son, daughter, yes, we lie and we're still tempted to do wrong things and sometimes we succumb. But listen, that's why we need somebody as our Savior. And God sent the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son, and He kept the law perfectly. And He never lied and He never sinned. Because we need a Savior. Because God is so holy and good, He has to punish our sin. And you know, if we don't ask the Lord to save us, we'll be lost forever. We'll be separated from God forever. We'll be in hell forever. But isn't it wonderful that Christ loves us so much and God loves us so much? He who gave the law. And when they get a bit older, you can put it this way. The lawgiver came to earth and became the law keeper. He kept it perfectly. And then at Calvary, He took all our sins. My sins, son and daughter, and your sins. And that's why He died on Calvary. Died for us. Died for us there on Calvary. You see, the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Just look at verse 21 there in chapter 6. Verse 20 tells us, when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments? See that? Look at verse 21. Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt by a mighty hand. That's the gospel. Israel been brought out of Egypt by the blood of the Lamb as a picture of Christ shedding His blood to deliver us. So the Ten Commandments naturally lead to telling them the story of Jesus. Telling them how He shed His blood to bring us out of the bondage of sin and to bring us to heaven. And so you're bringing your child to the Savior. That's the point we're making. You're bringing them to the Savior. And you tell them about the Lamb of God. Tell it simply as to a little child. I read recently somebody said, some parents are tyrants in their home. I'm the head. Do everybody work for me? Some fathers are only tenants in the home. They only come home at night for a few hours or are never there with their children and family. Ah, but a parent ought to be a teacher. To teach the Ten Commandments and to teach their children about the Savior. And that's a great joy while it's the responsibility of a parent. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them the story of His love. There's a story of a young boy who was sent to Sunday school. Father wasn't a Christian. This little boy went home. He says, Dad was reading the Sunday paper, just sitting there, climbed up into his lap. He says, Daddy, you know what they asked us in Sunday school today? Father, a wee bit interested. Oh, what did they ask you? They asked us, where would you like to go when you die? The dad a wee bit interested now. Well, what did you tell your teacher, son? I want to go to where my daddy's going. That made him think, didn't it? That made the father think. My son wants to go where I'm going. But let's turn it round to a positive. Isn't it wonderful? And speaking now, if you're a Christian parent, how joyful it is if your child is taught. Yes, teach the commandments. Teach them the Lord loves us. He's one Lord. He loves us. We ought to love Him as He first loved us. Teach them that the law shows us we need Christ as our Savior. And what a joy it is if your child someday or your grandchild says, Daddy, Mommy, I want to be with you because you're going to heaven and I want to be there too. What a joy. What a joy that would give. Let's just bow in prayer, please. Let's bow together. Our Father in heaven, we think of the grave responsibility it is to parents and grandparents and indeed all of us, to the children as given to us. And Lord, we bring it wider afield because we know this isn't just for children and parents, it's for all of us as we seek to witness people that we know, people that we rub shoulders with, our relatives, our friends, and we've a responsibility to teach them that God is holy and yet God is love, and that God sent His Son to be our Saviour. Oh, give us opportunities to speak well of Christ. Be with those who must go. Remain with those of us who remain around thy table. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.